Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Would you pray with me before you be seated? God, we love you. Thank you that we are here in your presence this morning. We worship you. Thank you that you have triumphed over every circumstance, that you have the victory, Jesus. We just honor you in this place, and I pray that for the next few minutes, our hearts would be focused on you, that you would help us to see and to hear what you want to teach us today. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. You guys can take a seat. Thank you. It's good to see you this morning. Good to be here with you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm our Wellspring Kids Director. And I love what I get to do here. Would you do me a favor today? When you go to pick up your kids, they're having an awesome time back there, by the way. We have the very best volunteers. Would you appreciate them and thank them when you go pick up your kids today? They are the best. I love working with my team and what I get to do with them. And we are so excited about the construction that we have happening out there. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. To all of you who have given to Room to Grow and for making Room to Grow. We are so excited about that and what God's going to do there. And it's exciting to see that already taking place. It's going up fast. So thank you for your flexibility while we are making arrangements for that to happen this summer. Can't wait to see all of that come to a close at the end of the summer. But I'm excited for what we're going to talk about this morning. If you would, do me a favor. We're going to do a little exercise together this morning. You're not going to break a sweat. I'm not going to even make you get out of your chair. I promise it won't be painful. In the seat back in front of you, there's a card that looks like this. Would you take this card and hold it in your hand? Everybody do it. I promise it's fun. You'll have a good time, okay? You're going to learn something new this morning. If you take this out and then hold it in front of you, hold it out so that the plus sign is on your left side, okay? And then hold it out like an arm's length in front of you. And then what you're going to do is cover your left eye and look at that card. And what you need to do is look at the plus sign. Focus your right eye on the plus sign. And then slowly bring that card closer to you until that dot disappears. Did you see it disappear? If you're looking at the plus sign, the dot will just disappear for a minute. You're normal. Don't worry. Everybody's experiencing the same thing as you. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. That's supposed to happen. And the reason is because you have a blind spot in your eye. If you do it with the other eye and focus your left eye on the dot, the plus sign will also disappear. It's supposed to happen. All humans have a blind spot in their eye. You probably think about driving when you think of the word blind spot. It's that spot, if you aren't drivers yet, students in the room, and you're not driving, there's a blind spot when you're driving. So when you look at the rearview mirror or the side mirror, it's the area on the road that can't be seen from either one, and so you have to look over your shoulder to make sure there's nobody beside you. But you also have a blind spot in your eye. But we also have another kind of blind spot that I want to talk about this morning. We're not here to learn about ophthalmology. Rest assured, I don't know anything about it. But what happens with your eye, first of all, is when light enters your eye through the pupil, it hits the retina in the back of your eye, and then you have an optic nerve that carries visual information to your brain. And at the end of the optic nerve, there's a space where there's no photoreceptors. And so there's this gap where information cannot be received. And because of that, what your brain does is it looks at that blind spot, that dot around that gap, and it fills in whatever it sees with what the images that are surrounding that dot. And so your brain does the work for you. And so you never even know that you have a blind spot. Isn't the human brain amazing? It's incredible. You're able to go about your everyday life not even knowing. So when you look at this and that dot disappears, what your brain is seeing is all the white space around it. It's filling in that dot with all the white area. But we also have a personal blind spot. And some area where we are not able to see or hear or think of something else. We can't imagine something else. Just like with our eyes, what happens with our eye? We have a gap where information cannot be received. And that gap could be caused by a lot of different things. And it's ideas or beliefs or systems or opinions that differ from what we already know. Something that's different than what we're used to from how we already think. And so it creates this area where we're kind of closed-minded and we're just not able to receive new information. And where that blind spot is could come from a lot of different things. It might be because of your background. It might be because of things that, how you were taught right from wrong, values that, principles that you were taught to value, or things that are people or circumstances that have been a part of your life. Your blind spot could affect the way that you see other people. It might affect the way that you see yourself even. Some of you have a blind spot when it comes to your talent. You think you're a great singer. What your friends wish you knew is that you're tone deaf. Or you think you're a great dancer, and so when you go to weddings, your spouse is actually very embarrassed by your dancing abilities. Our blind spot could be from a lot of different things. Sometimes it's the pain of our past that causes our blind spot. If you have a very painful past, I'm talking about the kind of betrayals or deep hurts that would cause you to think that anybody in your position would think the same way that you do. Like if someone was a victim of a crime, let's say, they might have very strong opinions when it comes to laws and sentencing for people who are being convicted, right? Or it could just be your personality, your preferences, the things that you like and dislike can cause you to have a blind spot. Our family just got back from vacation with my husband's family, and I was watching some people on the beach this week. And when we go to the beach, there's 12 of us, and we go to the beach and we take 3 canopy tents. I'm talking about the kind of blue tents that we use for our first-time guests. 3 of those, 2 beach wagons, 3 beach bags, 12 towels, 12 beach chairs, 2 bags of beach toys, a bocce ball set, 4 boogie boards, a football, a baseball and glove, and a partridge in a pear tree. We take everything, 2 coolers, food, snacks, the whole 9 yards. And I watch other families this week who come down with just as many people as we do, and they might have like 2 chairs and a few towels that they throw down in the sand, okay? And then they run to the water and they come back drenched and sit in the sand. Now, if that's how you do the beach, that's fine. I love you. We will never hang out at the beach together because you're doing it wrong. Maybe I have a blind spot when it comes to how we do the beach. But the point is, all of us have one. We all have some gap where information cannot be received. And you say, okay, April, what if we do? Why does it matter? Does our blind spot even matter? But for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a good neighbor. And Trey has said that a good neighbor does what's good for their neighbor. And if we want to be a good neighbor, if we want to have good relationships or have friendships or have healthy relationships in our workplace or even just have peace in our family, then we need to care about our blind spots. Our blind spots matter. Think about when you're driving down the road in your car, you know that you have a blind spot. So you're usually careful to check your blind spot or listen for that loud beeping sound that cars make now, mine does, before you change lanes. Because you know that if you don't check your blind spot, you might hit somebody or cause an accident and would cause harm to yourself or to someone else, and so you check your blind spots. But when it comes to our personal blind spots, those gaps where we cannot receive information, we're usually much less aware of those. We tend to be so focused on what's important to us, where we're going, our priorities, what matters, how we think things are to be done, that we don't look around us. And we're not as concerned with who we might be running over in the process. And there's a verse in Proverbs that actually talks about blind spots. In chapter 16, the writer says this: "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." There's a path that seems right. We have things that seem so right to us because of how we're wired to think, what we've been taught, people and circumstances that have influenced our life. There may be systems or programs that we cannot imagine operating any other way. There may be traditions that we can't imagine ever living without, ever doing away with. There may be opinions that we are just never going to understand, or people that we think we're never going to forgive. Not going to happen. But the thing about blind spots is that we don't see what we can't see, right? But if we want to be good neighbors, if we care about people, if we want to have good relationships, and especially for those of us who call ourselves Christians, then we need to care about our blind spots. And we need to understand that what we can't see can cause a collision. That's why our blind spots matter. Because what we can't see can cause a collision. If we're not aware of our blind spots, we may be hurting someone else or even ourselves in the process. We may be so focused on what's in front of us that we lack empathy or we lack understanding and we're unwilling to be flexible, we're unwilling to compromise, and we may be running someone else off the road and not even know it. When it comes to our blind spots, we should care because they can cause a collision if we're not aware of them. And for those of us who are Christians, we've been given a command to love one another, not just people who are like us and who think like us, but people who are different, people who live differently, who act differently, believe differently than we do. We're commanded to love them. At Wellspring, one of our core values is that we are rescued people who rescue people. That means that we embrace the mission that we've been given to point other people to Jesus and spread the gospel. But what if our blind spot is actually standing in the way of someone else reaching their destination to Jesus? What if our blind spot keeps us from seeing people the way that Jesus sees them? What if our blind spot is boxing us in because we fail to imagine a purpose that God might have for us outside the one that we've created for ourselves because we just can't conceive of anything differently? Our blind spots matter because what we can't see can cause a collision. And so for the next few minutes, I want to talk about what we can do, how we can begin to be aware of our blind spots and look around them, to see around them. And I want to tell you a story about a guy named Paul. You've probably heard of him. If you come to Wellspring, you've definitely heard of Paul because we talk about him a lot when we study the New Testament and his letters that he wrote to early churches. Paul was an apostle and became a well-known minister of the gospel. But what you might not know is that Paul had a very different life before he became a minister of the gospel. He was a very different person than the one we think of when we think about the apostle Paul. In fact, his name was Saul. He went by his Jewish name. He was born a Roman citizen, but he went by his Jewish name Saul because he was born into a very devout Jewish family. And he was taught all the things about the Jewish religion and the laws and the teachings of the Jewish faith. And his parents wanted to make sure that Saul had the very best training in the Jewish teachings. And so they had him trained by a well-known scholar named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was basically the GT teacher of the Jewish school. Okay? If you don't have kids in public school, GT stands for gifted and talented. That means that Saul was on the accelerated track of the Jewish faith. He was excelling above everybody else, and there were things that he could understand that other people couldn't. He just was getting it. He became a Pharisee. And so, as a Pharisee, Saul would have known the whole law of Moses and all the prophets by heart. He would have known by heart all the prophecies about the coming Messiah. The ones that said that the Messiah would come from the line of David and that he would be born in the city of Bethlehem, born of a virgin. Prophecies that said things like he would be both a prophet and a servant. And prophecies that said that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey, that he would be pierced, that he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, that he would die and be raised back to life. Saul would have known all of those prophecies by heart. And Jesus, as you know, came and fulfilled all of those prophecies. But what's always boggled my mind is that Saul did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. How could he spend his whole life devoted to knowing all of those things and studying those scriptures, but yet when that scripture was brought to life, he didn't get it. He missed it. It's because Saul had a blind spot, a gap where information cannot be received. He had all the facts, all the evidence was there, but he missed the truth because he had a blind spot. He did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And not only did Saul not believe Jesus was the Messiah, he was deeply offended by anyone who did. To Saul, belief in Jesus was heresy. It was contradictory to his Jewish faith. And so he developed this obsession with putting an end to Christianity. And he was having people arrested and persecuted, even executed for their faith. And he went down this violent path of seeking out Christians in Jerusalem and even in cities beyond Jerusalem to have them arrested and brought back and thrown in prison. And so I want to look at Saul's story today. We're going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with us. If not, it'll be on the screen. But we're going to look at something incredible that happened in Saul's life. We're going to start in chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Murderous threats. Murderous threats. He was very violent. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which basically means Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Saul has planned out this mission to go to Damascus, which was roughly 150 miles away. It would have taken him 2 weeks probably to get there, traveling on foot at that time. But he's going there to seek out Christians and have them brought. He's gotten special permission to go there, find some Christians, and drag them back to Jerusalem. But this is just an ordinary day in the life of Saul. This is what he does because he's a terrorist. But something extraordinary is about to happen. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to take a picture. I have blue eyes, and so my eyes are really sensitive to the sun. If you ever had to take a picture staring into the sun, and your eyes cannot open, they just squint and water, you know what I mean? This is like that times 1,000 for Saul, okay? And so he just hits the ground. It's so bright, he can't see anything. He falls to the ground, and he hears something. He heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he manages to squeak out a response, eyes streaming with tears. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Saul has just been brought to his knees by the Son of God. Jesus has left heaven to come and get Saul's attention. And what he's telling him is, all those people that you're persecuting who believe in me, I'm him. I'm the guy. You haven't believed yet, Saul, that I'm the Messiah that they say I am, but here I am. It's me, Jesus, and I'm real. Saul has just recognized his blind spot. He couldn't see it before. He wasn't getting it despite how much he studied and all the things that he knew. He wasn't getting it. When we have a blind spot, when there's a gap where we cannot receive information, we need help from someone else. We need help to perceive what our minds can't conceive. Saul had studied all the things. All the facts were there. He had the knowledge, but he couldn't understand it. And so Jesus has come to help him see his blind spot. When we're wrong about something, maybe you've not been walking along the road and been knocked down by a blinding bright light, but you've probably at some point or another realized that you were wrong about something you thought was right. None of us like to admit when we're wrong. If you can't think of a time when that's happened to you, you might have a blind spot, but think about someone you know who maybe they started dating somebody and you thought that person is not right for them. But they couldn't see it, and you let it go for a while, and finally you said, I've got to tell them. Somebody needs to tell them that this person is not right for them. Because what we don't see, we can't see. And Saul couldn't see it. He needed help to perceive what his mind couldn't conceive. And here's the great thing about Jesus. When he reveals our blind spot, it's not to condemn us, it's to correct us, to help us fulfill a purpose and a plan that he has for us. Jesus did not show up on the road to Damascus to punish Saul, even though he was wrong. Jesus did not show up to punish him, but to help him perceive what his mind could not conceive of. He showed up to give Saul a new perception and a new purpose. And things start to change quickly. Look at what happens. Now get up, Jesus says, and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Now this is new for Saul because he's usually the one giving the orders. Here he is receiving orders from Jesus now. Things are looking different already. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now get this picture. This vicious villain has just gone from violent to vulnerable in a matter of minutes. His guys don't know what's happening. They're traveling along the road. All of a sudden, Saul hits the ground and he starts talking to himself. And they don't know what is happening. He gets up and he can't see. So these men are so confused, they don't know what else to do except grab this grown man by the hand and walk him into the city. And isn't it ironic that Saul's spiritual blindness caused him to be physically blind? Why do you think that is? Jesus is usually the one healing people from blindness. But in this case, we see him cause Saul to be blind. Why? Can I tell you what I think? Good. I will. I believe that Jesus is humbling Saul. Up until now, he has been the guy with all the answers. He knew everything. No one was going to tell Saul something that he didn't already know. He was the top of the class. And now that he understands for real who Jesus is positioning him for his new purpose. He's teaching Saul to need people because Saul's new purpose is going to require him to need the help of other people. He will not be able to do it alone. No more blind spots. He's going to have to be open-handed. So Jesus is positioning Saul for his new purpose, which brings us to the next character in Luke's narrative. Check this out. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. He's excited. Jesus, what do you want? Jesus says, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, Ananias is already a believer. He's a Christian, but he's not been living under a rock. He knows who Saul of Tarsus is. Saul had a reputation. He was a terrorist. He was violent. He was the villain around town. And Ananias knows it. So imagine what's going through his mind as he hears Jesus saying, I want you to go find Saul of Tarsus. Look at what Ananias says. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Ananias is like, I'm pretty sure Saul is in town to arrest me, Jesus. Are you sure you've got the right guy? Because I've heard all about this man. See, Ananias also has a blind spot. He cannot conceive of the fact that Saul would be anything other than evil because that's all he knows about Saul, is what he's heard. He cannot imagine that Jesus would be sending him to help that guy. Look at what Jesus says. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. This man, Ananias, this man who's been persecuting people that believe in me, this man is going to go and help other people see their blind spots. This man is going to be proof that no one is beyond the kindness and forgiveness of the Father. This man, Ananias, will show everybody else that if he can believe in Jesus, anyone can. Is there someone in your blind spot? Someone who is wrong? Because Saul was wrong. Is there someone who you think is so far beyond help that why bother? Is there someone who you have refused to help? Someone who you've refused to forgive? Someone who you don't think deserves kindness or help? Is there someone that Jesus might be saying, go love, go help, go serve this man? And your response is, this man? Your this man might be your blind spot. Ananias had a blind spot too. And Jesus helped clear his blind spot. And then he told him how to do it. He said, go pray for him. Find him and pray for him. Look at what Luke says as he continues the story. He said, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Now, I just have to pause right there because Luke's telling the story. He makes it sound so simple. He just went to the house and went in. But I wonder, how long did it take Ananias to get up the courage to go find Saul? How long did it take him to see around his blind spot? Because if it were me, I would not be taking the straightest route to Straight Street. I'm going to take the scenic route. I might forget something at home, turn around and go back and get it out of convenience sake. I might stop for a couple slices of pizza and the biggest ice cream cone I've ever had because I'm going to visit a terrorist. It might be my last meal. So I don't know how long it took Ananias to decide to follow through and see around his blind spot. But Jesus had said, Ananias, he's waiting for a man named Ananias to help him see again. He's waiting on you. What if someone in your blind spot is waiting on you to make the next move? I don't know how long it took Ananias, but look what happened. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He walks in, places his hand on Saul, and calls him brother. It's clear that no matter how long it took Ananias, when he walked in, Jesus helped Ananias to see Saul the way that God sees him. And he calls him brother. And as he prayed for Saul, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Remember, Saul has come to Damascus to arrest and persecute people just like Ananias, and yet here he is being helped and cared for and shown the mercy from a Christian, someone he came with the intent to harm. Two men on opposing sides of an issue, blinded by their personal convictions. Both of them needed help to perceive what their minds couldn't conceive. I don't think either one of them, neither Saul nor Ananias, woke up and thought, I'll be on the same team as that guy today. Jesus helped them see the gap where they could not receive information. When we have a blind spot, Jesus is the answer. Because Jesus helps our hearts perceive what our minds can't conceive. It's not our minds, it's our hearts. Jesus changes our heart. He helps us perceive in our heart to see with fresh eyes what we cannot conceive in our mind. Jesus helps our hearts perceive what our minds can't conceive. We need Jesus to open the eyes of our heart, to help us see people the way that he sees them, to help us imagine beyond what we could ever comprehend on our own. We need Jesus to help us have empathy, to help us have understanding, to forgive. Jesus helps our hearts perceive what our minds can't conceive. We all have a blind spot. We all have some gap where we cannot receive information. But if we are committed to being rescued people who rescue people, then there's a question we should ask ourselves. What is my blind spot? What is my blind spot? Because you probably have one and you don't see it yet. But what you can't see can cause a collision. We need Jesus to change our hearts. We need him to help our hearts perceive what our minds cannot conceive. Our minds are so trained to think the way we think, wired the way they're wired And because of the people and the circumstances that have been a part of our life, it's so hard for us to get outside of what's in our head and to imagine anything different. Jesus can change our heart though. And he helps us to be able to see and love and understand and think the way he thinks. When we have a blind spot, we need Jesus to help us so that we're not standing in the way of anyone else's destination to Jesus, so that we're not causing a collision, so that we're not keeping ourselves or someone else from the purpose that God has intended for them. Can you imagine if we all would be aware of our blind spots and check them more often and submit them to Jesus, ask Jesus to change our hearts, to help us see our blind spots and move past them so that we can help other people get to Jesus? Imagine the peace that it would bring if we all would check our blind spots. We could give hope to someone. It could change someone's life. It can change our life. I want you to take this card with you when you leave today. On the other side, it says, "What is my blind spot?" Put this somewhere where you will see it and think about it this week, because you may not leave here today knowing what your blind spot is. You don't see what you can't see. You need help. So ask God this week, "What is my blind spot?" And ask him to remove the scales from your eyes so that you can start to see from a fresh perspective. Put this somewhere where you'll see it and think about this week. You might even ask a friend or a trusted relationship in your life to help you see what your blind spot is. But ask God, "What is my blind spot?" And see what happens next. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we want to see like you see. Would you give us your heart? Would you remove the scales from our eyes and help us to be aware of our blind spots? Show us the gap where we cannot receive information and help us to submit it to you so that we can get out of the way and point other people to you. God, I pray that nothing would stand in the way of someone else reaching their destination to Jesus. God, let us not be a hindrance to any person, but that we would willingly be rescued people who rescue people for the glory of your name, so that someone else can have a better life, so that someone else can experience the same hope that we have. Help us to get outside of our own minds. Help our hearts perceive what our minds can't conceive. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.